أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومنهم أميون لا يعلمون الكتاب إلا أماني وإن هم إلا يظنون. فويل للذين يكتمون الكتاب بأيديهم ثم يقولون هذا من عند الله ليشتروا به ثمنا قليلا فويل لهم مما كتبت أيديهم وويل لهم مما يكسبون. We were discussing the ninth ruku of Surah Al-Baqarah, and the previous verses we recited was وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا أَمَانِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is discussing the different evil traits of the Jews, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says among them are the illiterate ones, those who are uneducated, illiterate, they have no knowledge. لا يعلمون الكتاب, they do not know the book. إلا أماني, but false hopes, wishful thinking. وَإِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَظُنُّونَ, and they are only assuming things. They are assuming this will happen and that will happen. So although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about the Bani Israel, but this also has to be a lesson for us, that we should not just formulate false hopes within our minds. الْكَيِّسُ مَنْ دَانَ نَفْسَهُ وَعَمِلَ لِمَا بَعْدَ الْمُوتِ. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, an intelligent person is a person who takes stock of himself and he prepares for the period after death. So one is a man just lives in an haphazard manner, he is not concerned of anything. The intelligent person, he is always worried and he is constantly taking stock of himself, checking himself, assessing himself, looking into his life, what's right, what's wrong, what needs to be corrected, what needs to be rectified. وَالْعَاجِزُ مَنْ أَتْبَعَ نَفْسَهُ هَوَاهَا وَتَمَنَّ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And a fool is a person who just carries on following his desires and then he has false hopes on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He just carries on living how he wants to live, doing what he wants to do, and then he just thinks to himself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to forgive him. So this is a fool. So this Bani Israel, this is exactly what happened to many of them, the masses. Whatever their rabbis told them, whatever their seniors, they just believed it, they just accepted it. And you get that class in our ummah as well. You get people, till now there are people like this, that they believe once a year, they can just go to some mazar and everything can be wiped out. Everything. The whole year, you don't have to read namaz, you don't have to fast, you don't need to give zakat, nothing. You just go to the mazar and everything just gets cleaned up. That Hazrat in the grave, that whatever name they'll call him, the Baba, whatever, he just wipes everything out for you. Clean slate. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this type of ignorance now. This is what's called jahalat. It's ignorance. Then why is the Quran Sharif commanding you with all these different injunctions? Why did Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam come in the first place? If you could just sort yourself out like that. So a lot of all these things have become a money-making scheme. They have become a multi-billion business. Definitely, there are pious people, and we always respect pious people. Remember, we must always respect a pious person, take his du'as, make his khidmat. So we acknowledge there's awliya, there are buzugaladeen, there are pious people. But then after that, to take their graves as a place of worship, and you start bowing down for the graves, and you're prostrating for the graves, then this is something that is very detrimental, very dangerous. And as I mentioned, this has become like a business. If you go to India, you'll see it. It's very, very clear. You see it all the time, different places. They've taken graves of whether the saints are buried there, or whoever Allah knows, And they have made that like a business. So on a lighter note, they give one incident. There was one man, he was a mujawar. The mujawar is the person who takes care of the graveyard or the qabristan or that particular grave of that person. Normally people, whenever they go to these places, they have to give something to the mujawar, because they believe that, see, this mujawar, he's got some contact with the Hazrat and he can make something happen for you. Anyway, whatever it was, this person was a mujawar. And then his son, he became big and he told the father, I need to go now and earn a livelihood. So the father told him, okay, you can go. So he takes a horse from the house and then he goes, sets off on his journey. And some time passes. The father, he doesn't know what's happening now. Where's the son? Those days and times, they didn't have the technology that we got now, that you could just notify the person where you are. So he decides to set out and he needs to go see now, where's the son, what he's doing. So he comes, he sees the son, he's got another mazar. And he is operating that, and hundreds and thousands of people are all coming there. They're all coming there for blessings. So he asks his son, that which Hazrat is buried here? He said, no, that horse we took, Abba, that horse, the horse died. So when the horse died, I buried the horse. And I told people, you know, this Hazrat, whatever name he gave, that Hazrat is buried here. So like that, thousands of people started flocking to that place, because they feel that is like a mazar now, that's a dargah, you know, which saint is there. So the father said, okay, no problem. I got this horse's father is there by me. My mazar that I'm operating, I got the father there. He's buried there also. So unfortunately, respected friends, these things have become a very, very big business. If you go to these places, you will see. You go there, people will buy the chadar in the front. You won't get a business like this, where the commodity carries on coming back to you. So you buy the chadar for a nice, good price, expensive price. You go put the chadar there on the grave or wherever you're putting the chadar. So that same, later on, after a few hours, how many chadars are going to go on top of that grave? So they take all that same chadars, they put it back on the table, they sell it again. The same thing will apply with the rose petals. You buy the rose petals, take the rose petals, you walk, throw the rose petals everywhere. As you finish, you're gone. After half an hour, 1 hour, they collect all the rose petals, they put it back on the table. Next customer comes, he buys a whole lot. So this business is just carries on making money. Whatever you're selling, it's coming back. It's going back on the table. So unfortunately, people have taken, they have monopolized deen. Then they will give this impression. They'll give you some strange story. This happened and that happened. Follow the sunnah and follow the shariat. What Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told you. What Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala told you. Why we got the Quran Sharif? If any person and every person can come make one fancy story and he can deceive you. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is speaking about the Bani Israel, but we need to inspect our own lives and see that we are not that illiterate class that just believes anything and everything, and then we have false hopes that, you know what, we'll do this, we'll do that, then things are going to be sorted out for us. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is going to assist us and we're going to get Jannah. No. You will have to work. You'll have to make an effort. You'll have to strive. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in his final sickness, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is reclining on two people and is walking to the masjid. Right in the last few days when he was very weak, then he was performing salah in his room. But then too, he's still performing salah. Not that he has left out that salah. So this is something that you have to be doing right till the end. You've got to carry on making an effort, crying to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, begging from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, pleading to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. As a mashayikh say, karte raho, darte raho, mangte raho, rote raho. Carry on walking, carry on walking. Neki kar darya mein pek. Two good deeds, throw it in the ocean. Meaning, forget about it. Don't speak about it. You don't need to tell people what good you're doing. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala knows that's sufficient. Who you doing it for? You're doing it for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. If people don't know, it's better. Why they must know what good you're doing? That's between you and between Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So karte raho, darte raho, always be frightened. Be frightened. I don't know what's going to happen. How I'm going to die. I'll die with iman. My iman will be taken away. I don't know what's going to happen to me. Rote raho. Carry on crying. As much as you can cry. Cry to Allah subhanahu. Beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need Allah's help in this dunya. We still got to go through all the different phases. We got to go through sakarat. How are we going to leave this dunya? Shaitan is working so hard. Maybe he's going to come at that time. He's going to try and misguide me. So carry on crying. Mangte raho. Carry on asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to constantly make an effort, especially these Mubarak days, these Mubarak nights. Let us not waste these Mubarak moments. Whatever you can do, a lot of third kalima, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. A lot of istighfar, all these different conditions we're seeing around us. The Muslims are suffering, things are changing here in our own country. A lot of istighfar, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, a lot of durood sharif. Lot of tilawat of the Quran Sharif, lot of nafal namaz, salatul hajat, salatul tawbah. Inshallah we work in the right way and we put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya also, He will make us successful and in the akhirat as well. May Allah grant us a true understanding. Wa akhiru da'wah.